Greetings, listeners. Welcome back to another edition of Twisted Tales from a Twisted Mind. I am your host, Samuel Softwell. In today's edition, we're going to go back and find out what happened to Cain and Eve and Jack and Bob as they struggle through the zombie apocalypse that I refer to as dread. So, open your ears real wide and let's go. Chapter 6, The Rise of Cain. Adam, where are you, my love? Cain glanced over at Eve. She had been tossing and turning all night, waking up in a cold sweat. He had rubbed her back until she fell asleep again. She was lost in depression, and he didn't know what to do. He knew he had to find food and fast. When they were with Adam, he always knew what to do. Cain, I'm here. I miss Adam. Me too. But you must save your strength. We must go on without him. I don't want to. I want him. I know, love. I know. Cain scanned the roof for the 100th time with his eyes as he rubbed her back to sleep. He saw the same things over and over. Two air condensers, one with a cord tied to it and a wind chime tied to that. A rope tied to either coil coiled up neatly at the edge of the roof and a door. He stared at the door as his mind exploded with what he could find behind it. Eve was asleep again, and Cain carefully laid her down with her head against his jacket. It was not the most comfortable thing to lay on, but it was better than nothing. He pushed her hair out of her eyes like he would a child. Then he stood up and walked over to the door. There was nothing special about the door. It was gray, just like the rest of the roof. He put his hand against it, and he pulled his hand back quickly. It felt like it burned his hand. He looked at his hand. It wasn't even red. In fact, it was cold. He touched the door again. It was cold as well. He stared at the door, examining it from top to bottom. He ran his fingers down the seam. It had a very tight seal. No air could come in or out. He reached for the knob and turned it. The door opened with a hiss. Cain, no. He was sitting straight up, staring at him. He slammed the door and ran back to her. Eve, it's okay. I'm here. Oh, Cain. Eve threw herself into his arms. We have to get out of here. Adam told me. It's all right, Eve. Everything's going to be all right. She turned and looked into his eyes. No, it isn't. Just then the door opened and a man dressed in a long rainbow-colored robe stepped out. Greetings, my children. No. Eve took two steps back toward the edge, pulling Cain along with her. Oh, my children, do not fear. We just wish to help you through these troubled times. Come inside, you poor things must be famished. He started toward them as others in flowing white robes with hoods stepped out from inside the door. Cain reached down, grabbed the rope, slipped it around Eve's waist, and tied it tight. What are you doing, you bad children? The others came closer, surrounding them on three sides. They stood with the edge to their back. Cain gave the rope a tug and looked down. There was no dead in sight. Then he leaned in close to her ear. When I tell you, jump. She nodded. Cain reached down and raised his deer rifle. Get the fuck away from us, or I swear to God I will shoot all of you. Oh, you naughty children. You will do no such thing. Don't try me, asshole. Leader waved his hands, and the others stopped their advance. You are scared, my children, I understand. These are scary times. We are all scared that we will wake to find ourselves face to face with our lords. But you are safe here. This is your salvation. We are here to help you, help our lost children. He waves his hand, and all the others took off their robes to reveal a group of children ranging in age from 7 to 19. So you see, you are welcome here. Please join us. We shall give you all that you need and desire. All you need to do is put down the gun and come inside. Cain glanced at Eve, shook her head. He raised the gun higher, pointing at the man's head. No, thank you. We will take our chances out there. As you wish. The man put his hands together as if to pray, and all others did the same. Dear sweet lords, watch over these two lost children as they embark on their journey through your sacred land. Please help them to find their way back to your fold, as so many before have. Oh, please, almighty and just lords, help them to see the error in their ways. But mostly, my lords, have mercy on their souls. The man raised his hand into the air, and the others did the same. "Mercy, my lords." With these words, the others charged at them. "Now!" Holding on to each other, Cain and Eve dived off the building with only a trail rope behind them. Ah! The forest flew past them like the yellow lines in the speeding cars. Eve held on to Cain so tight his ribs started to hurt. The rope around Eve's waist grew tighter and tighter as the slack gave way toward taunt. Cain held onto the rope with both hands just above Eve's head. His gun over his shoulder smacked him in the back of the head a few times. "Get ready for the jerk." Eve put her head against his chest as the floors continued to fly by. The rope around her waist was starting to hurt. Her head was throbbing. Her ears were popping as the air rushed past her. Suddenly, the rope went taut and threw them back into an upward thrust. Cain's head flew forward with a cracking sound. Even though she felt his body go limp for just a brief second, then they were falling again. Cain looked down as the falling turned to swinging. They were hanging about two floors above the street. He scanned the air below them. No one or nothing in sight. He glanced up again. Nothing and no one around. They made it. "Eve, are you all right?" "Yeah, I think so. How are we going to get down from here?" "I'm working on it." Cain scanned the area again, and something caught his eye. "Eve, can you swing your legs toward that open window?" "Yeah, I think so." "Okay, let's go." Together, they swung back and forth toward the window. They got a good rhythm going. "That's it, just like that." Cain reached out toward the windowsill and missed, almost losing grip on the rope. "Shit." "Don't worry, I got you, little brother." He reached for the window again, and this time caught it with his foot in hand. "Yes, good job." Eve kissed Cain's cheek as he pulled him inside the building. Then he pulled out his pocket knife and cut the rope off her, tossing out the window. "Are you all right? Anything broken?" "Just a little rope burn, I think. Let me see." Cain lifted her shirt and examined where the rope was. She was burned all right around her waist, deep red and bloody. "Oh my God, sis. Hey, could have been a hell of a lot worse." "You kids have no idea how much worse it is." Cain and Eve turned to see a shotgun staring them down. "Now put your hands where I can see them and move away from that window." Chapter 7, The End of Innocence. "You are a pretty little girl. What's your name?" "Eve." The man leaned against the wall, still pointing the gun at them. "How appropriate. And what's your name? Adam?" "No, my name is Cain. Cain West." "What do you want from us?" The man jumped on Cain, pushing the gun into his temple. "You just better watch your step, Cain. Are you going to join your friends out there? Got it?" Cain nodded. The man limped backwards over to the wall, keeping his eye on Cain. "Now then, where was I?" "Oh yeah, Eve, take off your shirt." "What?" "The shirt. Let's go. Lose it." Eve looked at Cain. "Hey, eyes over here, sweetie. Now take off the shirt. I'm going to shoot Mr. Cain fucking West over here." Eve stood up and removed her shirt, exposing her lacy bra. "Oh, yellow, my favorite." The man licked his lips and adjusted his belt. "Now take off your bra. I want to see those firm young tits." Eve slowly undid her bra, one hook at a time. "Yeah, do it slow. I like slow." Cain watched the man carefully. He noticed the man was leaning on his left leg. "Now that is a nice rack. Lose the jeans." Eve unbuttoned her pants, pulled them down to her feet, and slid them off. "Yellow panties, too. Oh, Eve, you're one hot little mama." The man glanced over at Cain. "How'd you end up with this sweet piece of meat?" "She's my sister." "Oh, well, I guess you won't mind then. Bring that body over here, baby." Eve slowly walked over to the man. "Stop. Get on your knees." Eve dropped to her knees and crawled over to the man as the man unzipped his pants. "You look, you've done this before." Eve reached the man and grabbed the back of her head. "Do it, bitch." Eve grabbed the man's balls and yanked as hard as she could while biting down at the same time. "Fuck!" Cain jumped at the man, kicking the gun out of his hand. Meanwhile, Eve stood up with a mouthful of the man. "Fuck, fuck, fuck!" The man grabbed what was left of his crotch. He spit the blood, skin, and head in the man's face. Then she grabbed his other head and slammed it into the floor. After that, she grabbed his legs, and with Kane's help, they dragged him over to the window, a trail of blood behind him. "No, please don't. I'm sorry." Kane glanced out of the window and nodded to Eve. Together, they picked him up and began to swing him back and forth. They tossed him as hard as they could. The man screaming all the way to the bottom. Soon there was a loud crash, followed by more screaming. Eve walked over, picked up her clothes, and put them on. They did not say a word. They just picked up all the guns in the room, walked over to the door, and then walked out of the room together, chained, bonded forever. Chapter 8, The Great Escape. "To the top of the stairs, to the top of the wall. Just don't stop or they'll kill us all." Jack laughed in spite of himself as he fired into the mass of undead. "Keep going, baby. We have to keep ahead of them." Bob sprinted up the stairs as fast as he could. "Go, baby. Take this, you little bastards." Jack fired more rounds. Bob burst through the door onto the roof. He was carrying a bag full of canned goods. He could no longer feel Jack behind him, but he heard his gunshots below him, assuring them that he was still there. He did not stop in the doorway, but kept moving. He scanned the area quickly, looking for anything that he could use to help his buddy. What to use, what to use? Bob remembered the bathtub and ran to it. He tried to lift it, but it was too heavy for him to lift. "Damn it, come on." He pulled and pulled till he was out of breath. He sat with his hands on his knees, breathing heavily. He scanned the area again, nothing of use. He stared down at the tub. "I will not let my friend down." He got a good grip on the tub and pushed it with all his might, and it moved an inch. Only 95 more to go. He pulled again. This time, he lost his grip and fell on his back. His eyes were watering as he hit the floor with his fist. "Shit, shit, shit. Bobby, quick, shut the door." Jack burst through the door, turned, and fired another round down the stairs. Bob ran over to the door and slammed it shut. "Quick, grab the end of this tub." Bob ran back over the tub, and together they dragged it over and pressed it against the door. They both rested, breathing heavily. "Good job, baby. But that won't hold them for long. We have to get off this building, where the streets are crowded, crawling with lords." "That's true, and I am almost out of ammo to boot." Jack walked over to the edge and looked down. The streets were covered with large black dots, and they were moving erratically. He moved to all four sides, and they were all the same. "Damn, they have us surrounded. I feel like fucking John Wayne at Alamo." "Where are we going to go?" Bob pointed across the way to the building on the other side of the alley. "We need you over there." Jack walked to the edge and looked over. "Good thinking. Bob, we going to get there? We aren't supermen." Bob went to the edge and looked down. "There, we can use that clothesline." Jack looked down its clothesline. It was stretched from the fire escape of their building to the other building. "Are you serious? That's not a line, that's a fucking string. You got a better idea?" "No." Suddenly they heard a beating at the door and it moved slightly. "Fuck, we're out of time. After you, baby." Bob scurried down the fire escape to the clothesline. "Go, baby. I'll do my best to hold this side." Jack grabbed the line as Bob pulled himself out onto the line, wrapping his hands and legs around it. The line started to bend from Bob's weight. Jack tried his best to hold it tight. "Keep going, baby. You're almost there." Bob continued to inch across the line as fast as he dared, without putting much weight in one spot. "That's it, baby. You're there. Good job." Bob crawled into the fire escape and let out a sigh of relief. "Now hold it. I'm coming." Jack grabbed the line and swung his legs over just as the window next to him exploded. "Fuck! Jack, hurry!" An arm reached out for him, but Jack was out of its reach, so he grabbed the line and shook it. Jack held on with all his might. "Jack, oh my lord, hold on tight." Bob watched in horror because there was nothing he could do. He reached out for him, but he was too far away. Another arm came out the broken window with a disfigured face. "Jack, no, hold on." Suddenly, something blew past Jack's ear, and the face flew backwards along with the rest of the body. "Come on, move, you're clear." Jack wasted no time, moved as fast as he could, but he stood there too long, and the line broke, and he went swinging like Tarzan toward the fire escape, where Bob was staring at him with tears forming in his eyes. Jack! Jack slammed into the side of the building and almost lost his grip. Bob was running down the fire escape as Jack climbed onto it. Bob grabbed him and throwing his arms around him, almost knocking them both down the stairs. Oh, Lord, Jack, I thought I lost you. Jack tried to pry his arms off him. It's okay, baby, I'm all right. I am just so glad you're okay. Come on, we have to get to the roof. Jack half carried Bob to the top of the building as Bob continued to cry. Greetings, boys. You all right? Jack dragged Bob onto the roof as a big smile crossed his face. Yes, honey, I am now. Chapter 9, Dancing with the Dead. Kane kicked the door open with his rifle in one hand and his automatic in the other, ready to shoot any motherfucker who gets in his way. He scans left and to the right. He holds his hand up in a fist, raising his index finger, motioning to Eve. Eve, carrying a deer rifle and a shotgun on her back with an automatic in each hand, stepped through the doorway with a scowl on her face and a look of hatred in her eyes. She scans the street. Nothing in sight. She looks at Kane, nodding her head. Together, they walk down the middle of the street, scanning the area as they went. After going about a block, Kane stopped. He looked down at a body a few feet in front of him. He glanced back at Eve, seeing the fire flare up in her eyes. Eve marched up to the body. It was nothing but an empty shell with a head attached. She stared at the head as the dead, empty eye sockets stared back at her. She raised her automatic and pointed it at the head. The jaw moved as if to say something to her. It was one of them. It was him. It was a man who tried to. She squeezed the trigger, firing one lone bullet into the skull. The bullet pierced the jaw, dislodging it as he traveled through the nostril bone, shattered the back corneal structure as the brain splattered all over the pavement. Kane stepped up next to her, lifted his boot, and stomped on it. What was left of the skull, it smashed and oozed under his foot like a cockroach. Then he wiped his foot off with a piece of newspaper and tossed it on the body. Even Kane stared down at what was left of the body for a few more minutes, each of them feeling the power that they had gained from their ordeal. The energy flowed around them, between them, through them. They felt as if nothing could stop them. Then it happened. An earthquake rocked the streets, and they grabbed onto each other for balance. What was it? An earthquake? No. Run! Kane and Eve sprinting back to the way they came as Horde of Undead barreled down on them. Chapter 10, Under Siege. Bob stared at Jack and Diane as they kissed in the moonlight. They had been with her all of 2 hours and Jack had already put his moves on her, asshole. You have the most beautiful eyes I have ever seen. Why, thank you. You're not too bad yourself there, cowboy. They started to kiss again and Bob turned away. He walked toward the edge of the building. He put his hands on the wall and scanned the horizon. The moon was a blazing yellow and she was full. A perfect night for romance. Fuck that. Bob hacked a big booger and spit it over the side. He watched it fly all the way toward the bottom, bouncing off a windowsill, before smacking on the head of a lord. Bob watched the lord for a while. The lord was banging on a brick building with something. Bob stared at him, fascinated by what the creature was doing. Then he noticed there were several lords banging on the building with different items. A few had hammers, others had mallets, some had blades, while some were using what was left of their hands. Then he saw something that shocked the hell out of him. Jack, come here, quick. Later, Bob. Jack had his hands under Diane's shirt. Seriously, Jack, you guys need to see this. Not now, Bob. I'm going to thank Diane for saving my life back there. The proper way, of course. Diane smiled at him as she put her hands up on his upper thigh. Jack! God damn it, Bob. Can't you take a hint? Suddenly, the sound of the night was broken with the sound of an engine firing up. What the fuck was that? Jack and Diane ran over to where Bob was standing. A chainsaw? Fuck me! They all started as the lord pushed the chainsaw into the wooden frame of the door, ripping it to splinters. Jack drew his gun, aimed at the lead lord, and squeezed the trigger. Click, click, click. Shit, I'm out of ammo. Diane ran over, picked up her bow and arrows, and ran back to the edge of the building. She notched an arrow, took aim, and let it go. The lead lord flew backward into the masses as the chainsaw went flying, slicing up a few more before it went dead. Damn, lady, nice shot. Thank you again. I used to do a lot of deer hunting with my father and brothers when I was smaller. I was an ace. You're still an ace. Suddenly the building shook. What the hell was that? They all glanced carefully over the side. There were half a dozen lawyers slamming a batting ram at the side of the building. I thought you said this building was safe. It was, until now. Come on, I got an idea. They ran into the building with Diane in the lead as the building shook again. They ran down four flights of stairs and ran into a large kitchen. She took them to a large fryer full of fat, full of oil. She reached down, turned a knob, and all drained to a large tub on the wheels. Oil? Oil. Damn, you was a medieval little devil, aren't you? She winked at him as she grabbed a tablecloth, tore a piece, started wrapping it around an arrow. Quick, Bob, find some matches. Matches? You know, fire. Hurry. Bob tore through the cupboards, tossed some stuff aimlessly all over the floor. Jack pulled up a chair and headed over to the window. He glanced down and saw the lawyers still banging against the building with a ram. He raised the chair and slammed it against the window again and again. Into the window, finally gave way. The glass ran down to the down on the lords, but they paid no mind, continued their work. Come on, Jack, help me with this. Jack sprinted back to Diane. Together they rolled the tub of oil over to the window, where they stopped and looked down. Bob, coming right now. Bob grabbed a box of kitchen matches off the top shelf of the last cupboard on the last row. I should have started on the other end. Bob. Bob ran as fast as he could. When he got there, Diane and Jack were struggling to lift the tub of oil. He grabbed the side of the, and together they dumped the oil all over the lords below. Again, they continued to ram the building. Dan pulled out the arrow, dipped it in the tub, and soaked the cloth with the oil. Then she notched it, held it out toward Bob. Hey, Bob, lay my fire. Bob whipped out a match, stroked it across the side of the box, ignited it, and held it below the arrow tip. The arrow exploded into a ball of fire. Dan took aim and fired. Bullseye. The arrow struck its mark, lighting up the lord. Continued to pound the building as the fire began to consume it. Suddenly, the fire spread to the rest of the lords, but it did not slow their engagement of the building. Oh, damn. They aren't even slowing down. I have to get out of here. Jack and Diane started to head toward the stairs. Wait, look. They both turned and came back to the window. But they watched the lords slowly begin to fall over and burn up. All right, we did it. Dan kissed Jack, fall on the lips. Bob continued to stare out the window. Below, the fire was getting bigger. Soon the masses of lords caught fire, and all you could see was a huge blaze of yellow and red flames dancing in the street. Suddenly, there was a huge explosion shooting a fireball as high as Bob was standing, knocking him off his feet. Holy shit, what the hell was that? Jack let go of Diane and peered down to the streets below. Oh, damn, the whole street is ablaze. The whole city's going to go up in flames. What are we going to do, Jack? I don't know, baby. We have to get out of the city and fast. But we won't last more than a few hours on the ground. I know. We have to get all the weapons we can carry. Another explosion rocked the building. Help me with Bob. Jack and Diane helped Bob to his feet. Can you walk? Yeah, I'll be okay. Diane kissed Bob on the cheek and she glanced at him. Motivation. Come on, don't have much time. With Bob under their arms, Jack and Diane left the room as the smoke and flames began to rise. Chapter 11, Running with the Dead. Just keep running! Jack, with Bob on his shoulder, ran down the street as Diane brought up the rear. The herd, the lords behind them, there must have been hundreds of them. I can't carry him much longer. Bob, can you run? I think so. Jack put him down, and Bob began to run beside him. Together with Diane, they ran as fast as their feet would carry them, lords high on their tail. Look! Behind them, something exploded, rocking the ground. Diane fell, landing on her head. Diane! Jack stopped and helped her to her feet as Bob continued to run toward the waterfront. Come on, you guys. We can make it. Keep going, Bob. We're right behind you. Jack glanced up to see two figures running just in front of the mass of lords. They were both armed to the hilt, and they were coming right at them. Shit. Hope they're friendly. Who? No time. Come on, Di. We have to hurry. Jack helped Diane to her feet. With his help, they continued toward the waterfront. Bob head for that big yacht. Bob reached the ship and jumped over the rail onto it. A few seconds later, Jack and Diane reached it as well. Jack helped Diane on board. Quick, Bob, grab the ropes. Jack and Bob worked as fast as they could to untie the ropes of the yacht. Jack looked back at the city as another explosion rocked the streets. As he saw several lords fall to the ground, almost like a domino effect. The two figures he noticed earlier were just a few yards away from them. Jack, hurry! Jack started to push the boat away from the dock as the two figures bailed down on them, along with the rest of the citizens of this burning city. Hey, wait! Suddenly, the three lords came out. Three lords came out of the bulge of the ship and grabbed a hold of Bob. Jack! Diane ran to Bob and kicked one of the lords into the water. Bob slammed his elbow into another, pushing it away, while Lassen grabbed a hold of his leg and sunk his teeth into the fresh meat. Bob screamed. Jack jumped onto the boat, yanked the lord off from Bob, and shoved it into the wall. Then he unsheathed his 10-inch hunter's knife and stabbed the lord's head. Chapter 12. Chance Meeting. Hurry, Eve! Kane slammed his rifle and nearest dead, knocking it out of his way. Look, they're taking off. Hey, wait! Eve pushed herself with all her might until her lungs began to feel as they would explode. She reached the ship and jumped a few feet. She hit the deck hard, rolling onto her feet. She raised her automatic, aimed, and fired. Eve lifted herself onto her feet and looked over at Kane. He was lying face down on the deck with his gun in one hand and a guardrail on the other. She slid over to him. Are you all right? Kane opened his eyes and lifted his head. I think so. You? Yeah, for the most part. Eve turned toward Jack, who was climbing the stairs two at a time toward the steering platform. Jack bounded into the room. He saw the wheel and the throttle were tied off of the ropes, but no sign of Diane. Diane! Jack searched the small room, but she was gone. Diane, where are you? Jack stood at the top of the stairs, screaming and scanning the deck. All he saw were the two kids who jumped on board at the last minute. He scanned the ocean in front of them, and then he turned and scanned the ocean behind them. Good God. Even Kane, who had been watching him both, turned and stared. It's gone. It's all gone. The city was gone. All that was left was a giant fireball. Nothing but fire as far as the eye could see. Fire and smoke. Smoke on the water. There's fire in the sky. Jack turned toward the voice. He looked down to see Bob standing at the bottom of the steps. He was holding the head of Diane in his hands. He pulled out her left eye and popped in his mouth. Oh, Bob. Jack reached for his gun and fired as Bob charged up the stairs. Bob fell backwards down the stairs, landing on his head. His head split wide open like a busted watermelon. The contents ran out of his skull like a river of blood, and mixed with the salt water that was being tossed onto the deck from the open sea. Jack's gun dropped from his hand and crashed onto the deck below. Jack's eyes began to water, and tears cascaded down his cheeks like rain. All the emotion escaped from inside him, and he lost control of his footing, slid down the stairs like a kid on a sled. He landed on top of Bob and continued to weep. Kane turned to Eve, who just stood and stared at Jack. Then he walked over to Jack and put his hand gently on his back. He rubbed Jack's back like a mother soothing a crying child. Jack just continued to let it all come out. Eve stood and watched as her brother covered this strange man who just shot and killed his friend. She thought of Adam and the hell that had become of her life. Why is this happening? Why must we continue to live while so many others have died? Why did we survive? Then the face of the nameless man flashed into her mind. The face of the man who would have raped her at gunpoint. Then she remembered the look in his eye as they tossed him into the streets and to be devoured by this things. Oh my God. Kane looked down at the man lying on top of his dead friend. He was so wanting to tell him it would be all right, but how could he when he knows it won't be? So many people lie about things they know are not true. All right, hell. We will be lucky if we last another hour or two. He continued to rub the man's back. Eve continued to watch Kane. Then she turned away and scanned the rest of the ship. There was nothing around. They were doomed to die on this old dead ship. No, you can't think like that. but to live another day, then we shall truly outrun the reaper. Turned toward the vice. It was Adam. Oh, Adam, you're alive? She threw her arms around him. I miss you so much, baby. My dear sweet Eve, I am not alive. I'm here to tell you, you are not going to give up hope, for the child shall show you the way. What do you mean, child? What child? Farewell, my love. Wait, Adam. Cain looked over at Eve. She was reaching and screaming for Adam again. He got up, ran up to her, put his arms around her. Eve, calm down. What is it? Adam. Oh, my poor Eve. No, he was here. He told me something, a message. Suddenly the boat shifted, knocking them to the ground, and a large shadow engulfed the ship. Chapter 13, Dead in the Water. Jack opened his eyes as the boat rocked heavily. He felt the young man rubbing his back, but he did not feel it. Cain? Jack watched the young woman raise her gun and fire into the water. Cain grabbed him forcefully by the shirt. Jack stared at him. The young man was shouting at him, but Jack could not hear him. He was lost in his mind. Finally, the words came to Jack. Get up, we have to move now. Jack jumped to his feet with Cain's help. Together they ran toward Eve as the yacht started to tilt and rock again. Jack slipped and fell into the deck. He glared at the deck. It was covered with a sticky substance. Cain, I can't keep it at bay much longer. I'm almost out of ammo. Just hold on, Eve. Jack watched as the young man jumped up the stairs two at a time, disappeared into the cabin. Then he heard gunshots again. He looked up at Eve, who was firing into the sky now. He shook his head and tried to clear it, but he was too weak from his outburst. Suddenly, the yacht shifted again. He crawled over to the side of the yacht and glanced over and emptied his belly into the sea. He heard yelling again. It was the girl, Eve. She was screaming a lot. He looked over to the side again, and water splashed in his face. Then he finally hit him. His mind was coming around. The cloud was starting to clear. He glanced up. Oh, fuck. Jack pulled himself to his feet and stumbled backwards as he reached for his guns. They were not there. Nice to have you back, mister. He fired into the other ship, knocking another one onto the dark water. Jack, my name's Jack. She gave him a rifle. Here, Jack. If any one of those fuckers get near the edge of, shoot him. Right. Jack stared up at the monstrous cruise ship as their tiny yacht went into its shadow again. Chapter 14, Endgame. Eve stood with her gun raised. She was out of ammo and was waiting for the dead to jump from one ship to theirs. Her life flashed before her. She remembered her family, childhood, 10 years, and the end of her life, the beginning of this life. Now she was tired, oh so tired. She didn't want to fight anymore. She wanted to sleep. Her strength was gone. The gun dropped to the deck. Jack fired into the other ship as the dead fell one by one from the other ship. A few landed on the deck of the yacht and crawled toward him. He pointed the gun at one and fired. Brains splattered the deck. Cain turned the wheel hard to the left for the 100th time. It was no use. The other ship was too big and powerful for this little yacht. They were losing, and there was nothing he could do. He looked out of the window just as the dead landed on the deck. Eve stared at the army of dead as they walked off the ship and fell onto theirs. Her knees felt weak. Her head was throbbing. Her tummy was empty. Her life was drained. She wanted to sleep. She dropped to the deck and closed her eyes. Jack continued to fire at the oncoming army. Some fell into the sea as they dropped from the boat like river rats in a sewer. He did not want to die. He wanted to live. He was afraid. He was making mistakes. His guns were empty. Even as he continued to pull the trigger, the army continued to merge toward them. No! Cain grabbed up his rifle and fired into the crowd of undead as he ran to the top of the stairs. He watched in horror as the dead pulled Eve apart piece by piece. Jack was surrounded on all sides. There was no way out. He swung his rifle in a circle, knocking over the first wave. Cain ran down the stairs toward Jack, firing as he went. Eve looked up as the dead ripped her body apart. She felt nothing. She was nothing. Her soul was gone. She was at peace. A smile crawled across her face as she saw Adam pull her out of her body into the great beyond. Jack, pushed to the dead with his rifle, but he was too weak. They overpowered him, pushing him toward him, grabbing at him, biting him. Kane stopped dead in his tracks as Jack let out an unearthly scream. No, God, no. Kane raised his rifle and fired into the undead one last time. Jack felt the dead pulling him apart, but he did not feel the bullet as it tore through his head, spilling his life all over the deck. Kane lowered his rifle and watched the dead as they ate. It was nasty. Yet it made sense to him in a very fucked up way. He was alone now, just him and the army of dead. He wanted to run. He wanted to kill them all. He wanted to live. He wanted his sister back. He wanted everything back. He knew none of it could be done. The only question left was, how will he die? The army moved toward him, slowly, as if he knew he was the last living man on the boat. Hell, maybe on the planet. Kane put the rifle in his mouth. The barrel was still hot, and it burned his tongue. No matter how he felt, no pain. He squeezed the trigger slowly. Click. Once again, click. Out of bullets, he tossed the gun at the leader, a nude female. It bounced off her chest, taking her rotted nipple with it as it hit the deck. Fuck, Kane shouted. He felt his legs back up to the edge of the deck. The rail was cold, steel on his bare legs. It felt good, made him feel alive. He stared at the lead female. She would have been very beautiful if she was not dead. His mind was failing him. He could not think straight. He felt his body climb up onto the rail. All he could think was the zombie with a nice round breast and missing nipple. Kane felt the wind rush by him just before he hit the hard water below. His mind was gone, lost in a strange sexual fantasy with an undead woman he didn't even know. The madness of being last and certain death to follow had pushed him over the edge. The water engulfed him as he sank to the bottom. If anyone can hear me, please respond. I'm in trouble. Respond, please. A zombie looked at the radio. He batted it with his hand, and the voice went dead. Well, dear listeners, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you liked it. If you do like my books and you want to learn more about my books, you can always find them online where ebooks are sold, or you can go to lulu.com and find them in print. Just type in my name, Samuel Sutthol. That's SamuelSuttholl. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I look forward to the next episode. And y'all have a great day. Enjoy yourself. Be safe out there. And remember, stay twisted.